Hello and welcome, everybody. This is Robert Forto, hosting from Dogworks Radio Network in Willow, Alaska, and on the line, calling in from the northern reaches of Canada, Steve LaViolette. He is the host of The Husky Life. Steve, how's it going?
Not too bad. How are you doing, Robert?
I am doing well this afternoon. Fall training is underway. We're taking out two or three teams a day ourselves. How's it going in your neck of the woods?
Well, that's what I'm excited about, too. I actually got some good weather a little bit earlier than expected. I was thinking I get to start training only as of today, but I actually got to go out as of last Monday. So I've been training every morning around 6 o'clock, taking off with my team every morning, and this is just, I'm in the zone now. I'm in the zone. Got to bring
on
the snow.
I know it's going to be a big year for you guys. You guys are doing some races, and hopefully we talk about that in just a little bit, but how is the weather out that way? What's the temperature this time of year where you're at?
Well, I think right now we're hitting the just below 50s early in the morning. The afternoons are killers. They're really humid. They get really hot very quick. But if we get out early in the morning between 5 and 6 and we're back around 8, 8:30, we do it just in time to do a couple of miles out in training. We're doing about 10 to 15 miles a day right now between Quesha and myself. So we're getting a little bit lucky with the weather. I feel fall coming around the corner real quick.
So when you guys start this early training in your part of the country, what are you guys using? Are you using ATVs? Are you using some type of cart setup? What?
Well, you know, I'd like to put some big cart names out there, but honestly, I don't know much about the carts. I've been using stuff I could make up myself since I started. I use mountain bikes with four dogs, or I used to have this old beat-up 125 dirt bike that I disabled and would take 6 to 8 dogs out with the dirt bike. So anything I could rig up with wheels, I would take out the train. Now this year and last year, I got a little fancy. I got my hands on a used four-wheeler, so I've been using the ATV for the past two seasons now, and I got to tell you, I'm kind of liking it, because harnessing up 14 dogs at the same time is not like harnessing up four on a mountain bike, I'll tell you.
It's a little tougher to pull an ATV down the trail without you if you have that weight behind it.
I know. When I first started using the ATV, I just put on a team of eight, and it's, they can pull this, no problem. And they end up being able to, but in the beginning it was like, oh no, we got to add the whole team on here.
There you go. So today, yeah. Stephen, we're talking to Lori Levy, I believe, Lori Laney, calling in from around Niagara Falls area. Is that correct?
That's correct. And I'm very excited to talk to her because she does something different. You see, this lady I admire very much. She has Siberian Huskies, and I've never had the chance to spend a lot of time with her in person, but a lot like a lot of us nowadays is that we have Facebook, and that's the miracle window to everybody in the world. And I do get to follow everything she does, and I do get to speak with her through messaging and stuff like that. She's an awesome lady. Now, she likes to refer herself as just a small-town girl with a couple of sibes, but honestly, she's a lot more than that. She's got so much to offer, it's not even funny. And I'm going to introduce her right now because I want her to get to talking as soon as possible about what she does, and we can explore this. So I want to introduce my friend Lori Laney, who, like Robert just said, is from just not too far from Niagara Falls and Buffalo from the other side of the border. Lori, how are you doing?
I'm doing fine, Stephen. How are you?
I'm good. So we're both a little nervous on here, but we're going to take it easy as we go. But if you'll indulge me a little bit, just so everybody gets to hear who you are, I'd like you to tell a little bit about your story of how you got involved in this. And not the I don't want to say that the special sport you practice right off the bat. I want to keep that for a little bit later on. But let's talk about the mushing side, how you got involved in the Siberian world and how you started racing and how you got into this life.
Okay. First of all, I want to congratulate you on your new talk show, Husky Life. I think it's a fantastic idea. And I really appreciate you having me on as a guest.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
And for the kind words. I'm a little nervous, so like you said, we'll take it as it comes.
For sure.
I'm from Port Corbin area, small town. I have 5 Siberians, one recently passed, so I did have 6. I got involved basically to start off with my background. Growing up with my dad, he was an avid hunter. He had Labrador retrievers. He had blue point heelers, he had beagles, but labs being the main focus. So I was always around dogs. They were always part of my life. He used to compete in field trials, so I had that as a background. And as I got older, I acquired my first Siberian in 97 and didn't know anything about the breed, to tell you the truth. And that dog taught me a lot.
Like they do to all of us.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I found a local breeder in the area that was involved in conformation and recreational dog sledding. And I acquired my first dog from her, and she became my mentor. She taught me a lot about the breed and what was involved in the showing aspect of it. But being, you know, athletic and into sports myself, I wanted to get right to the dog sledding. That was my passion, right? So I had a little bit of introduction to that, and of course found out that you need more than one Siberian, so I acquired a few more. I wasn't happy just to do the recreational. I had been on the internet, which is a great tool, and found out about some sprint races, and I found a mentor on Dog Sled Central, Jim Cunningham, who we all know.
Yeah.
And conversed with him through emails, and he gave me a lot of good advice to start with the sprint training. And we did that one winter. We thought, okay, yeah, we know what we're doing. I hooked up with another friend that had another dog from the same breeder to make a team of 4. And headed off to Halliburton, our first race, 2 years ago. Didn't know a soul, was terrified, showed up at the meeting, and had a really good friend now. She was one of the first girls that came and approached us, Lisa DeGennaro, which you also know. And there was a lot of friendly mushers there that were helping us out. We had Janice and Ray Ecker that were camped beside us, and they gave us a lot of pointers. They helped us to the start line. We had Ralph and Jen from Ray Jen Siberians. They were extremely awesome people. And they said, don't worry, you're going to get to the start line. You're going to be nervous as hell, but when you get up there, once you start going with your team, all else fades away. You'll be fine. And it was true. And we were hooked, and, you know, we love the sport. We love the community of the mushers and their support for the new people coming into the sport. And it was just, it was an awesome day. So we said, well, you know, I think we're going to get into this more. We came to find out that obviously we weren't prepared enough for the race and that we're going to have to implement some of these, the advice of some of the other mushers that were there. And we did indeed finish the race, but we did come in last. But we finished.
That's what I find important. It's not the position you finish in, it's that you finish.
Exactly. And we made a lot of good contacts, you know, a lot of good
people
in the community to reach out to help us along our way. Then we hooked up. Then I got another dog. I wanted a dog with a little more drive. So I found another breeder in the States, in Michigan, Tajah Siberians, and acquired a dog from her. This dog had tons of drive. And the problem was I had no lead dogs to train her. So I was on my own, basically. So I did the best I could and hooked up with another friend of mine, Deb Langlois, who has some really awesome dogs too. And we formed a team, and we competed last year. And needless to say, we've improved. Every race we've improved. So, and we're enjoying it. And we're giving back to the breed. You know, we're not big-time competitors. We're not a threat to anybody. We go out there and we enjoy it. We're on different trails with their dogs. We meet people. We learn from them. And we have fun. And the dogs are loving it. When they cross the finish line and they still have some energy and they're smiling, that's okay in my books.
See, I think you've hit the nail on the head right there. I like the fact that you said we're not a threat to anybody, and that's how it should be in the first place. Whether you're racing hounds or you're racing sibes or you're racing labs, it doesn't matter. You shouldn't be a threat to anybody in the first place. You should just be there to have everything about the dogs. It's everything about running the race, giving a new trail to the dog to be on, watching the dog flourish in his environment, you having fun with it as it goes, and some friendly competition all the way around.
Exactly, exactly.
Yeah.
And I found that. I found that, you know, everybody was willing to help the new people. And, you know, like I said, I was very nervous going to my first race. And, you know, once I was there and after the first day, it was like we were already a family. Like everybody embraced you and helped you. Nobody was there to judge you. And,
yeah.
You know, the Mushers meeting, I made sure I went out last because I didn't want to get in anybody's way. I just wanted to experience, see what it was all about. But then come the next race, there was no going at the end. So I had a little bit of competitiveness in me.
Now that the fall is coming, because you guys are going to hit fall soon as well, like I know you're a little bit down further south than I am, but your cold weather is coming just as much as mine is. How do you train in the fall with your dogs?
Well, basically, because where we live, we and the weather conditions, we don't have the best conditions to get out consistently. So when it does get cool enough, under 50, and we get them out, we also implement the days we can't get out, we implement treadmill, running on treadmill. We do other things where they're cross-training and, you know, on the different off-seasons, doing swimming and agility. And for the actual fall training, we train on scooters on our trails. We don't have the luxury, unfortunately, that you do with all your land, and, you know, I wish that was our situation. So we're limited even for the length of trails we have and such. So we get out with the scooters and we run the dogs, and we train for sprint. We don't do the long or mid distance. So you know, we do a couple miles and run them out so that they are consistently running at a good speed, and then we increase that. You know, as maybe 2 weeks later, we'll double that. And then a couple weeks later, we'll double that again. We try to go out every other day, about three times a week anyway, for sure.
And because we're in Canada and also in the States, I'll use the term miles or kilometers for now, but how much distance do you cover when you train?
Well, being sprint, we don't cover a lot of distance. When we're training during the week, occasionally we will go up. We'll travel. We'll travel to different trails. We'll go to Guelph. We'll go up to Palmerston. We'll go up to, this year we're planning on hitting Port Elgin, where Lisa lives, and getting on longer trails and you know, putting more of that in as well. But when we train for the sprint races, We train further than we're going to race the race, but we're not doing, like, anywhere near the kilometers that you're doing. And if we do, it's just for, you know, a leisurely stroll, you know, out there running, training, kind of making a day of it kind of thing.
I got to be honest. Like, I'm calling it training, but what I really look at it is I'm for myself, it's hard for me to describe because this will be my first real official race. I say real. It's not I did the Bancroft race, the 50-mile race, 1 year, more as a favor for a hotel owner as to advertise his hotel and so forth. But I've never really raced, nor have I ever really trained for racing. I'm in a completely different world, and I find myself as if I was a novice musher that doesn't know anything, because I'm getting surprised at every corner I'm hitting with what I actually don't know about the racing world and equipment involved in it. When I train, and I'm speaking about training and how many miles I cover and all that stuff, I do this all the time. Like, it to me is it's what I always do. So when it comes
right.
to miles, it's not a big question for me. Like, I always, the longer I can be on the trail, the happier I am, because I know the dogs are happy. So I usually go between 40 to 60 miles a day in the wintertime, but I do this every day, nonstop.
Right.
This is my job. It's, you know, other people go to work and then they come and train. Exactly.
Right.
But what I'm finding myself at a loss now is mainly on, like, when we say this, I'm training. But I'm just doing what I've always done. I'm training in the same way. I'm not doing anything different, except now I have a four-wheeler, put on 14 dogs instead of 4 and 6.
Right.
But it's the same stuff. Where I'm finding myself at a loss is I've been looking at the equipment, like cable gang lines and all this stuff and booties and everything and all the rules I have to follow to be in the races. This is where I'm getting lost. This is where I'm...
Okay.
I feel like I don't know anything, nothing. Sometimes I feel like I need to put a post on Facebook for all the racers out there. Can somebody just come down to my house and teach me everything? Because I'm so lost. And it's amazing how much is involved in just in the races. I've never even... I mean, if it wasn't for Laquatia, I still probably wouldn't know today. But I'm just amazed. And Robert, you're in this all the time. I can't even fathom how it is to do this all the time, because it just seems like there's so much involved. But once you're in it, you know. But to get to know this, oh, my Lord, it's a whole new different world.
Right, exactly. Well, it sounds like you need a mentor.
Oh, yeah. I think I'm going to need quite a few of them, actually.
Yeah, the racing, I can't even imagine at the level you're going to be competing at, because, like I said, we're just involved in the sprint, and, there's a lot more to it, you know.
I don't even want to say that there's going to be a difference in the level. It's just a difference in the mileage, because there's just, I think a race is a race. I think it's just the same. I've been looking at, okay, so we've been accepted to run the Canadian Challenge. Fantastic. So we're going to run 400 miles. You run sprints. What's the difference? We're off at the starting line. We arrive at the finish. There you go. And then to me, it's all about running the race and completing it and doing it. The only reason I want to go into the long races and not the short sprints is it's how I train my dogs. I don't train them to do short distances, mainly because when I like to go, I leave at 5 or 6 in the morning and I come back around 7 or 8 at night.
Nice.
And
I
like to work with the dogs
luxury.
All you know, it's just if I'm going to go out, I want it to be worth it. I want to go out all day. I want to
exactly.
go out all night. I don't want to go out for, like, I saw Quesha do some sprint races last year, and within 20 minutes the race was done. It appeals to many. To me, it doesn't. I don't see myself packing up my team to drive 5 hours to do a race or a 3-hour race and then come back. I can do that in the backyard.
That's, right.
But that's how I've always been. So if I'm going to do a race, I'd like to do something that I know my dogs can do and that I can do and that I'll be gone for 3 or 4 days.
And what they're used to as well.
Exactly.
Like you said, you've already been training that without knowing you were training it. So to them,
yeah.
they would feel cheated, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
But so you train with the scooters. Oh, for what?
For your races coming up.
Oh, yeah.
Exciting.
that's another part that really makes me really nervous. And not being in the race world, and I've seen a lot of different mushers and different racers and how they compete with each other and how they speak about each other and so forth at times and differences of opinions and so forth. And that's a little part that scares me because I'm so not competitive that, you know, I like to get along with everybody. So I'm just hoping that that won't be an issue when the time comes.
Well, I'm sure it won't be. I mean, you have to take everything. You know, you can take advice and listen to what everybody, you know, has opinions and ways of doing things. But when it comes down to it, you know your dogs. You know them as individuals. You know what's going to work for you. So you apply what works.
Which is something I wanted to ask you. How do you deal with that? Because there is a lot of competitiveness out there, especially in the sprint races.
Yes, well, Steve, I'm not very – I am a competitive person, but we're not really on a compatible, competitive level as opposed to, you know, the teams I've been running lately. I'm adjusting my teams. I started out with companions and dogs that I thought I would just be doing confirmation with and just some recreational fun sledding. And then as I started acquiring other dogs and teaming up with people and finding how much fun the sport is, realized that, well, if I want to be competitive, I'm going to have to, you know, add some more dogs to my team with some more drive. And, you know, you change up a bit as you go because I didn't start off saying, oh, I'm going to do this. I started off just, you know, having pets and getting into different sports and obedience and different things like that. And like I said, the racing's only came about in the last 2 years. I've only raced 4 races, and it's all new to me. I'm brand spanking new, and
now,
I'm just taking it as it comes. And, you know, like every race, you meet different people, you hook up with different people, they have different ways of doing things, and what works for one might not work for the others. And you know your dogs, like I said, everybody knows their dogs, so what may work for one person's team may not work for mine, you know?
Exactly.
So I always read my dogs, and I know how hard I can push them, and, you know, I'm honest with my dogs, too. I know that, you know, okay, I have 2 here that are, you know, really passionate about the sprint racing, and I can see them doing well, and then I have a couple that are would rather just go and play around in the fields with me and, you know, go for leisurely recreational mushing. So, you know, you got to – right now I'm kind of in between. I got a bit of both. So I'm working towards being more competitive in the field. But when I go out, I just do my best and have fun with the dogs. And, you know, you can only – do with what you have, right? So
that's right.
You have fun while you're out there. As long as they're happy and I'm happy and there's not, you know, any injuries or anything, it's all good.
That's what matters.
That's another story.
Now you mentioned that you've only done 4 races for now. You've been in it for about 2 years. But, I mean, between you and I, this person that you mentioned before, Deb Langlois, which I know and I like a lot as well, and I've told her a few times I admire her a lot for what she does as well, you guys teamed up in doing a lot of these, right? But
Last winter, yes, we did.
Yeah, and you say you've only done, you know, 4 races and you're beginning, but you guys took the sprint world by storm. I mean...
Well, I don't know about that, but we sure had fun.
You took the place by storm. I mean, if there's anything we follow in the sprint world, especially when I started following it because Quesha was getting involved in it, this is all we see. And I've seen the big posters made up. You know, I've seen the big trailer doors made up and the whole thing and the pictures of you with the dogs and the pictures of Deb with the dogs and the whole thing. You guys have, like, taken the sprint world by storm in Ontario.
Like, well,
everybody pretty much knows Deb Langlois and Lori Laney.
Well, I don't know about taking it by storm. That's kind words there, but I know there's a lot of sprint teams out there that, for instance, Lisa herself, De Janeiro, she's doing quite well out there in the sprint races, and you know, she's probably midfield there. She's had some good results at the races, and we're a little bit a little bit behind her in the standings, that's for sure. But there's a lot of people that like and respect, and, you know, some people, you know, do have the opportunity to work their dogs more and have better weather conditions and you know, that kind of thing. But, you know, thanks for the compliments, Steve. We appreciate that. But, you know,
well,
we do the best we can. And, you know, we've won a few races of the
and
dry
I think
land,
that's
which
what's
was nice.
Shining through. Yeah.
Yeah, I was kind of surprised.
And I think that's what's shining through, is that it shows that you guys are doing the best that you can, but you're not doing it to actually, like you said, you can be competitive, but I've noticed that when I've seen the two of you in a certain place, when I've seen, it's always about fun first. It's always about the dogs first. And that's what I mean by you took the place by storm. You two have become very popular in the sprint section of racing in Ontario.
Oh, well, thank you. I never knew that.
Well, let me be the first to tell you.
Did you hear that, Deb Langlois? I know she's listening to the show right now. Yeah, she has some great dogs, and they do even more training than I do, so they get a lot more miles on their dogs. She has some working dog titles on her dogs, and I've teamed up with her last winter because at the time I only had one dog that was really ready for the, you know, the sprint races last year, and that was Diva. And we teamed up with her brother, Sirius, and Haynes and Nemo. And
yeah,
we did a few races. And, yeah, we had a good year. We, you know, we got a little bit of money to pay for the next race, so to speak. And, you know, we were happy because I had never driven her dogs before. And my dog has never ran with her dogs before. So we just threw a team together, and they knew each other, mind you.
Yeah.
But we haven't, you know, we just made a team, and we said, okay, let's try this. And they worked pretty good together, so
well,
no
that
complaints.
Was great. And now that you've
sometimes
mentioned
you have
Diva.
Sometimes that. There's a lot of newbies out there that want to get into the sport, but maybe they only have two dogs. So
that's right.
Maybe they can hook up with somebody else. Like when I started even recreational sledding in this area, Niagara region, nobody was doing it. There was nobody, and to this day, there's only another friend of mine, Sharon, that I think you know Sharon as well. She has Safira and Razi.
Yes.
Yeah, and hooked up with her, and the first race we ever did was my three dogs and one of hers. So for people out there that are new, don't feel that you know, you can't try this. If you know other people that do have dogs that want have the same passion as you, you can hook up and you can, you know, maybe, you know, form a team. And
that's right.
And don't be scared to come out to the races. You know, people, they're very helpful. They're friendly. They'll help you
and
as much as they can.
And it's a great place to learn. It's
oh
a great
my
place
gosh,
to learn.
I cannot
even
imagine,
if you don't want
yeah.
to. Even if you don't want to be in races, even if just about the sport of mushing, you go attend races, you see the type of equipment everybody uses. You get to see what a pulling harness is, what a you know, the gang lines are, the sleds, the scooters, the everything. You get to know everything. You get to
exactly.
learn about training tips. You get, like, you know, I always tell Laquasha, if you want to be the best musher possible, don't just listen to me. I mean, talk to everybody out there and make your own big salad bowl. You know, it's like
exactly.
making a salad bowl. You take every piece of vegetable you can find, every piece of, you know, a chicken Caesar salad, whatever you can, you put it all together and you add your own dressing on it and you make your own thing.
Exactly. Exactly.
But
that's so important.
A great
getting
place
out
to
there.
Learn.
Like I even went, before I even entered my first race, I went and watched a race at Courtright, and a lot of the people that I know now through mushing, they were at that race, but I didn't know of them at the time. I went there to meet Jim Cunningham because he was my mentor I found through Sled Dog Central. He was marshaling that race. I went to watch and, you know, talk to people and take in the environment. And then I decided from there, okay, you know. And that's what I do with anything I'm involved in, any dog sports that I participate in. I'll go and I'll hang out at an event for a few times and check out different venues and see what it's all about, talk to people, and, you know, and now with the Internet, it's awesome, you know. I mean,
exactly.
it's a good thing or bad thing, but, you know, for me, it's been awesome for the dog world. That's the only reason why I'm on Facebook, is for all the connections and people that you can talk to and get advice and share stories and learn from. You can learn so fast, you know, from different forums and like you said, going to races and talking
right.
to people that have been doing it for years. And, you know,
that brings me to the other sport you're involved in now, which I flip every time I read about it. I am amazed every time I see your pictures up and your awards and everything. And you mentioned her name, and that was Diva. Who is Diva?
Diva of the Docks. Yes, she's becoming quite the dog in the
Siberian Husky world. She's becoming quite. It's almost like a. She's original on her own. She's something different.
This dog, I have to thank a good friend of mine again, Deb Langlois. She found this dog for me through Taja Siberians in Michigan, the breeders Melissa Arab. This dog is amazing. I can't say all my dogs are amazing, but she just has that little extra. She just gives it her. She wants to work. She doesn't care what sport it is. She wants to work.
Exactly.
She wants to learn.
I know exactly what you're saying.
And
so
those dogs
what
are
she
hard
does.
To come by.
Tell us what she does. What is Diva's specialty?
Well, Diva's specialty, when she's not dog sledding, is the sport of dock jumping. Dock jumping. It's a water sport, and you usually see a lot of water-loving dogs competing in it, you know, Labrador Retrievers. But this sport is growing fast all over U.S. and Canada. There's many. You go to an event, and you will see almost any breed doing it, from Bulldogs to Rottweilers to mixed breeds to you name it. You're going to see it on the dock. And,
now, I understand that, but seeing a Siberian Husky voluntarily dive into the water is not something we see every day.
No. I blame that on my dad from all the Labrador Retrievers we had growing up. I've always tried to teach my dogs to retrieve and you know, that kind of thing. So when I got Diva, I originally got her because I wanted to get into the sport of agility. And I wanted a dog with drive, but I wanted a dog that had especially toy drive. And
okay.
So we started with the agility training. Meanwhile, I had been in the past to a few dock jumping sports events they had at sportsman shows at the Toronto in Toronto, and thought that's pretty cool. But I don't have any dogs that swim, so I'm out for that. Then I got Diva, and wow. So this dog, I got her, and lots of drive, lots of toy drive. She retrieved, she tugged, she was anything for the toy, the ball. So I had some friends that competed in agility professionally, and they were using this. There was an indoor place, a veterinarian place that had a small pool, like a controlled swimming. You can't go and jump around and be crazy, but
okay.
It's, you know, to exercise your dog kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
So I thought,
yeah.
You know what? I'm going to throw a life vest on her. I'm going to see if she's going to even swim before I get my hopes up. So my dad
yeah.
came with me, and off we went. And she's, you know, kind of thrashed around at first, and then she became really comfortable with it. Second time took her, life jacket off. Third time she was already jumping in after the ball. So I thought, whoa, we might have something here. So the lady that worked there said, well, there's a triad event coming in May at Kearney's Canine Swim Club if you want to go check it out and see if your dog will jump off, you know, the dock. So off we went, and hanging out with the Labrador Retrievers. And there's a Husky. They're like, that's going to jump in the pool? I'm like, yep. It is.
That was exactly my first thought when I saw you post up the first event you went to. I was like, you know what, this lady is just setting herself up for a heartbreak. I mean, she really must not know Siberians if she's actually going to a dock diving competition with a Siberian. Does she
yeah.
not know they don't like water? Like,
there's a lot of people that were in your thoughts, you know,
yeah.
exactly. So
but
we took her there.
You've actually won a lot of awards with her through this.
Yes, she's actually she's registered with a few kennel clubs, but the UKC, United Kennel Club, has titles as well as the Ultimate Air Dogs that she competes with. They're hooked up with
okay.
the United Kennel Club. So
okay.
when you get titles from the Ultimate Air Dogs, you get them from also the United Kennel Club. And so now she's a champion jumper. She got that last season, which means she would have to get 5 legs in a specific division. So 5 successful jumps in a specific division. And then from there, she has to get another 150 points, and that would qualify her for her champion duck jumping title. And I think
wow.
she's the only one right now that holds that title.
And,
Don't quote me on that.
I saw the picture you put up of her wall of ribbons. How many roughly, I you probably know exactly what the number is, but how many competitions has she won?
What's
roughly,
that?
Give me a rough number.
Of what?
Of how many competitions has she won?
Well, she's pretty much almost all the competitions she's been at, she's made the finals. And this year she's jumping in the master division. So she's placed in the master division. They take the how it works is when you're jumping at an event, like, first of all, there's a 40-foot dock and a 40-foot pool. And the dog runs down the dock at full speed, and they jump into the pool after a floating toy, like, you know, a swimming,
yeah.
anything that floats would consider that a toy. And the distance is judged from the end of the dock to the where the base of the dog's tail breaks the water. That's how they judge the length of the jump.
Okay.
So each competitor gets 2 jumps per splash, and the furthest of 2 jumps counts as their score. Now, what happens is throughout the whole weekend, whatever your top score, your top jump is for the whole weekend, that will determine if you make it in the finals or not. And they'll take the 5 top dogs for each division in the finals, and then you compete for your position in that final. Now, they also have something they implemented last year where some people were just showing up for one day because maybe they got to work the Saturday. They're just come out on a Sunday,
mm-hmm.
and their dogs are nice
mm-hmm.
and fresh, and they jump, you know, awesome, and they end up in the finals. So they
yep.
created a division finals where over the whole weekend, they add up all the scores of the dogs that jumped all weekend, and the one with the highest score in that division gets an event champion event in that division type, like,
okay.
ribbon. So, yeah. So that's how that works. But she's got quite a few ribbons. She does really well. She jumps this year. She's been consistently jumping in the master division, which is 20 feet to 22 and a half feet. So she's been doing exceeding every year. She's been getting stronger, better. The first event we ever went to, she started at 10 feet 11 inches. By the end of that weekend, she was jumping 18.6. The guy, the announcer was so impressed. He's like, wow, she almost doubled her jump in one weekend. Your dog is going places. This is awesome. Like, he was very supportive, and he helped us along the way as well. This
yeah,
company,
right now
too,
you can't see my face, but right now I'm standing here, and my jaw is literally dragging in the grass as I'm talking to you because I'm still clicking on the fact that you said she dives over 20 feet off the dock into the water.
Yes.
I'm in awe.
And she
retreats. I literally am in awe.
She picks up her toy and swims back. So it is an awesome sport for, because I believe it was the Essex dryland race we were at last
yes.
year, and I had a few people come up to me that were, you know, more serious mushers than myself, and they were asking about the swimming in that because they thought that would be an awesome way to condition and keep their dogs conditioned in the off season. So they were asking
yeah.
me different questions in that, and it is because, I mean, they're it's not you know, they're in the water. It's not a lot of strain or stress on them. They're working their muscles.
Yep.
You know,
which is the way I train my dogs on the off season is I take them swimming. On the off
perfect.
Season, I find there's no better way for me to train my dogs with all this heat and the whole thing, and it's to take them for at least a 25 to 30 minute swim every day
awesome.
Or every other day, depending on the weather. But if I'm going to compare what I do with my dogs in the swimming, I have to have a leash on my dogs when I take them swimming, because if I just let them go on their own, they might walk in, but they're going to walk right out. They don't stay in. I have to go into where they actually swim and hold them by the leash and walk them, like I walk around the water with them so that they can swim in different directions, but I literally have to keep them in there because they won't stay.
Yeah.
So the fact that yours will actually jump 20 feet in just to get a toy, that dog is a special dog. I'm not kidding. That Siberian Husky is an amazing Siberian.
Well, thank you. we think she's pretty special. But, you know, it's all about the toy drive. If you can build toy drive on land, any dog can do it. And it doesn't matter the breed. They got to be a good swimmer. They got to love to swim. Your dog's already swim. But the important part is the toy drive. You have to make that toy special. You have to have that toy just for the sport that they're doing. It doesn't come out any other time. You don't leave toys around. Any toys that are interactive, like a ball, a tug, anything like that, is to be meant to be played with you. It's not to be left around to have free, because they get bored of it. That's like, well, it doesn't mean anything then, because it's out all the time, right?
Yeah.
So if you can build that toy drive on land and transfer that to the water, you know, like a lot of people ask me, well, how do I get into this sport, you know? It's like, okay, first of all, toy drive. Get that going really strong. Then take that to the water. Go to a natural body of water like you do, Stephen, you know, a pond, a lake, a river, whatnot, where it has a natural incline so that the dog can come out
as they please.
If it's fearful, if it just doesn't want to go in swimming in deep water all at once. You can, you know, start throwing it at water's edge, get them excited about it, and then keep going further and further. Once you have a dog going out into that body of water, getting that ball, swimming, bringing it back to you, then you can transfer it to a pool. Because the pool is a little bit different than a natural body of water. First of all, it's clear. You got a blue bottom. It looks like a big piece of cement. They don't want to jump in that, right? It's like, what? No, what the heck is this? So you take them to the ramp of the pool, and you get them wet that way so they know it's water. They don't know that's water. And then once they're going off the ramp, continually retrieving that toy, you transfer it up on the dock. And then,
that makes
you know,
a lot of
start
sense.
Start off small, you know, small little distances.
Yeah, no,
a lot of people
no 20 feet jumping right off the bat.
Yeah, you know, some people take their dog's back the first time 40 feet and throw the toy out 35 feet, and they're wondering why their dog won't jump, you know. I mean, you got to start off small. And, you know, I've been guilty of that too, trying to move ahead too fast. And, you know,
that's the competitiveness.
Yeah. Just a little bit.
Now, for everybody listening out there, we're talking to Lori Laney today. I say she's from South Coast Sibes because that's what she's known from on Facebook. And Robert, if you're on, I think I always miss this, but this is probably a good time to announce the station.
Yes, I'm here, Steve. you want to introduce the station? Is that what you said?
Yes, yes.
You're listening to Dog Works Radio on Dog Works Radio Network. You're listening to The Husky Life. Make sure you follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Just search for Dog Works Radio in the search bar. And The Husky Life airs the first Saturday, or actually first Sunday of every month. We're doing it on Saturday today because I'm supposed to be heading out of town.
That's right. You're heading to a triathlon.
Yes.
But you're not going to be doing any dock diving over there, though.
No dock diving there, but we do plan to do a little bit of swimming.
Yeah. What, Robert, what do you think about the Siberian Husky dock diving champ?
You know, I've had Siberian Huskies pretty much my whole adult life, and I've never found one that swam very well.
Same here. So isn't like I'm literally amazed by her journey through with Diva. Actually, even I can't stop saying it enough, but diving 20 feet off of a dock into water voluntarily.
Laura, do you have any video of this? I'd love to put it on our Facebook page.
Absolutely. I can send that to you. And Diva also has her own Facebook page. It's called Diva of the Docks. And there's some videos. She has quite a few fans. There's some videos on there of her from the All About Pet Show at the Toronto Convention Center and some of the other events. But yes, I can send you one if you Stephen can send me the link to send it to you. I can send it to you, no problem.
Sure, that'd be nice.
For sure.
Her personal best right now is 21 feet 10 inches.
Oh,
and
my Lord.
She's working towards her grand champion. She's halfway there to her grand champion dock jumping title, and as long as she loves it, we do it. And, you know, Siberians, when we first started, it was kind of, you know, I don't know, because we will wait and see what happens. Dogs, you know, the Siberians are known that they can turn off something in a heartbeat if there's nothing in it to please them, you know. They've been known to. So I thought, oh, maybe it's just a fun thing she'll do when she's young, because she started at 10 months old. So I said, if we get past the first year or two, then I know she really likes it. So this is the third season we've been doing it, and she's really enjoying it. And if you ever see Diva at an event, you will know her. She is very loud. She's barking, jumping, just like ready to take off for the sled dog races, but for the dock. You will not miss her.
I'm still amazed. Now,
the passion for dock sledding, I mean, for dog sledding and dock jumping is the same for her. She has that same intensity. And
the same drive, the same want.
It's really cool. Yeah, same. It's really cool. That
well,
know
I
that
hope
she
I get
will...
the chance to... I hope I get the chance to see this in person someday.
Well, hopefully next year.
Yeah. You guys had an event actually not too far from my neck of the woods just a couple of weeks ago.
Was it Ultimate Air Dogs or the Ontario Dock Dogs?
Do you remember? You know, I can't tell you the name. I can tell you
okay.
It was around the Cornwall area.
Oh, it was probably...
Brockville.
Oh, Brockville. Yeah, we
yes.
missed that one, and we usually attend that one. Shoot.
Okay.
Yeah. But
well, Brockville is about 2 hours south of me here, so if I was actually aiming to go to it, and we got caught in a kind of a visit we had here over the weekend, some people wanting to get introduced into bike touring and so forth, so we spent the weekend here with them, but... that was one that was actually pretty the closest I've ever seen to where I am. It was only about two and a quarter hour drive, and I was really fixing to attend that one.
And that's one of our favorites as well. Karen LaRocque, the owner, and Mark LaRocque, they live in Brockville. That's their event they got in for Ultimate Air Dogs Canada. And it's a lovely venue. It's an island in between the water, and it's just a really nice venue. Unfortunately, we had circumstances we couldn't attend this year, but we were usually at that event. So look for us next year, Stephen.
Oh, I am sure, because I'm not playing favorites or anything. And if it wasn't for you and Diva, I would know absolutely nothing about the sport of dock diving. I didn't even know that existed. And the only reason I found out about it is by following you and watching. And I don't mean to make that sound a little stalkish or anything by following you.
No, we all follow each other on Facebook.
But,
anyone who has a Siberian or
exactly. But
yeah.
You know, it's the only
it's
way
like,
I've ever learned about that sport.
Neck of the woods. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. I was actually that was my intention, was to head up there to actually get to meet Diva and see her in action. So I really
yeah.
want to go see this.
Well, Bill, we were lucky. Bill Gasper came out when we had the
I saw him with his T-shirt.
Yeah, so that was really nice, because a lot of times, you know, people don't know what the event's all about. And, you know, for people to come out and, you know, support another sport we do is really nice, and it means a lot to us. A lot of people don't understand why we want to do something like this, and
yeah.
and you know, they're just like, "What?" You know.
Well, honestly,
but the ones
is...
that do you know, take the time to learn about it, and you know, I'm always the big believer in pay it forward. I've had a lot of good mentors and people come into my life over the years with dogs, and you know, taught and shared, and if I can help anybody get into the sport or anything I've said today that could help newcomers or anybody. You know, then it's all worth it, you know. I mean, what you know, share. I mean, it's not for everybody, but maybe there's somebody out there that has a Siberian that they've been jumping off at the dock at the cottage for years and, you know, said, oh, that's a sport, cool. You know, I'm going to try
that
out.
That's right.
You know,
right.
You never know. So
you never know. Now, you guys, you've been invited to another event coming up by some mutual friend of ours that you're actually going to be attending on the 14th as well.
That's correct.
But that's a little bit more, now we're getting back onto the dog sledding part of things. You want to tell us a little bit about that event and who's hosting that?
Ralph and Jen from Ray Jen Siberians is hosting Sled Dogs in Action, September 14th, 1 to 4 p.m. at, I don't know how to pronounce the name, is it AYR?
AYR?
Yeah,
I think
Farm
it's AYR. Yeah, AYR.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the location, it's on the website. The location is 3431 Cedar Creek Road, AYR, Ontario. They're going to have international ski-joring Karen Kroller. She's going to be speaking. They're also going to be having somebody speaking on the history of the Siberian Husky.
Mm-hmm.
Deb Langlois is going to be attending with her dogs, and she will be speaking about the confirmation, about rally obedience. There's going to be a dry. We're going to be there as well. Diva of the Docks will be there to talk about the dock jumping sport. There's going to be a dry land rig race, and I don't know if it's confirmed or not, but I believe Peter French is marshaling that.
Nice.
Yeah, and Lisa DeGennaro will also be there, and Jen has quite the list for her. She'll have quite a few things to be doing, too. I'm not sure exactly, but...
And I'm sure if she's listening, she just went, what? I'm going to have a ton of stuff to do? What? I was going there to have fun.
Yeah, you can always count on Lisa to make it fun. She's a good person.
Right.
I like her. Yeah, real sweetheart.
Now... This event is actually a perfect opportunity to go back to what you were talking about, learning. This event is going to be the way it's going, the way I understand it from Ralph and Jen and the way I understand it from you and everybody involved. People from anywhere, from off the street, from anything can come to this and actually learn from bottom up.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm really looking forward to this event. You know, with all the different people and what they're bringing, and for anybody new coming out, it's a great opportunity to meet the dogs and talk to them and, you know, the owners and find out about different sports, how they get into it. You know, I think it's going to be a really nice event, and hopefully it'll be something that will continue, you know. If it's successful, it'll be a yearly
opportunity.
Thing.
I mean, I love the fact that you guys are putting this on this way because it covers everything. Even down to dock jumping with your huskies. I love the fact that there's going to be some talk about the history of the Siberian Husky. I mean, there's some people that always want to start, but they don't know. They don't know anything. I mean, just before we got on the show, I had a family here exactly about that, wanting to learn about they're thinking of getting a Siberian Husky. They want to know everything there is to know about their history, about how they act, their temperaments, their whole nine yards. And this is a perfect opportunity for somebody who either, A, wants to get themselves a Siberian Husky or any type of the Husky family, and, two, want to get involved in some kind of activities where they can keep their Huskies, let's say, as slash working dogs without actually being a musher with a team of 12.
Exactly. And I'm glad you said that because myself, living in the city and having limited space to run my dogs, that's another reason I got into the different sports, to keep them busy physically, mentally, cross-training where I can when the weather, you know, wasn't permitted, you know, implementing the treadmill, doing different things with them to keep them, you know, to give back to the breed. They're running dogs. They need to run, you know.
They need a responsibility.
So
they need a job.
They need a job. Any working dog
That's right.
needs to work. They're bred to
That's
work,
right.
you know. And you got to give back to the breed. I mean, the dog will be miserable if it couldn't work. They love it, you know.
And that's where we end up with problematic dogs.
Exactly. That's a whole different show.
That's right. It is. It's a whole different show.
Yes.
But anyways, I'm so happy I got to talk to you today. Our time is coming close to an end. We've got about 5 minutes left. Is there anything in particular, anything that you're going to be doing this winter because now that we've covered the dock diving side of things, what races are you planning on attending this winter? If somebody wants to meet Lori, where can they meet you?
We'll be at Bristol Dryland Race, November 1st
and
2nd. That's up near your neck of the woods, isn't it?
A couple hours away, but very close.
Okay. So we're going to be there. Eva's teaming up with her brother for scooter race. So, again, it's going to be Team LL, Lainey Langlois. So we'll be there, and we'll probably plan on doing most of the winter races that's in our area. So, again, Halliburton, if Cannington's a go, we'll have that again. I didn't see it on Sled Dog Central yet. But, yeah, we'll plan on doing the same, I believe it's the Eastern sprint races, the Eastern area.
Yeah.
On Dog Sled Central. So most likely we'll be at attending all those sprint races. So for dogs, for sure.
So your first stop will be Bristol.
That's our first, exactly. And looking really.
When you and Deb team up like this, do either of you like start arguing about who's going to take the dogs out?
Never.
Because I know Deb loves to run the dogs as much as you do, so who gets to go?
Yeah, that's pretty good. Deb pretty much said four or more, either I get them or Bert gets them. She likes to run the dogs, but she likes to be in control, she told me. Right, Deb? So if it's four or more, she's more than happy to have me drive them, which that's perfectly awesome for me. And, we have a good relationship together that way, and it's a lot of fun. We do have a lot of fun at these races, and, we're hoping that Bert will be able to actually come to one of the races and have time off to experience a race. That would be great since, he does a lot of training with Deb, so
yeah.
that'd be really nice.
Now, since you're, the way you put it, fairly new in this, which I think, you've been in it your entire life just with different breeds of dogs, but if you could say one thing to that one person right now who's sitting on their sofa listening to the show, and I'm not saying this to be offensive, I'm saying for the person who's actually listening because he's attentive, but is a little bit shy and a little bit afraid to get involved into this sledding, diving, active skidoring or any kind of joring way, what would be the one thing you would say to them to make them feel safe enough to actually say, you know what, even if I don't know anything, I'd like to get into this?
Well, what I would say to that person is we've all been in your shoes, especially me. I know that feeling, and the people are just amazing in any dog sport I've come across, and you know what, there's lots of information on the internet and in books, but to get to talk to the real people behind the scenes and see what goes on and coming out to events and experiencing those events for yourself with your own eyes, you can't go wrong with that. And don't be afraid, because people are welcoming new people into the sport with open arms, and I've been in your shoes, and just come on out. We'll be more than happy to talk with you and make you feel comfortable, and just give it a go. Go for it.
Well, Lori, I gotta thank you for this very quick 1 hour that went by. I can tell that the nerves died down 2 minutes after you started talking.
Thank goodness.
If anybody would like to get to if anybody would like to get to, let's say, meet you online, is there any way they can get in touch with you?
They can get in touch with me through Diva of the Docks. They can message me there.
Okay. And that's on Facebook?
And that's on Facebook.
Perfect. All right.
Or they could message Lori Lainey on Facebook as well.
There you go. And if they go through my friends list, they can easily find you there as well. So, folks, if you want to learn some really cool stuff, and I mean really cool stuff about dock diving, training for sprint races, everyday care of her thighs and everything, get in touch with Lori, and through Lori, even Deb, which that could be a whole other show right there.
Awesome. Yes, you have to get her on.
Well, I got to thank you, Lori. I had a great time. I wish we had more time, but I think our time is coming to an end.
Thanks for having me, Stephen.
It was my pleasure, and the pleasure really was all mine. I adored this. Robert, good luck in your triathlon tomorrow.
Thank you,
Stephen. Yes, good luck, Robert.
Thank you. We'll see you guys next time. Goodbye.